This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Time now for Mego and Shine on WEEI.
This team has hoisted up 100 threes. That's, do the math. That's actually more than a three a minute. That's every other possession. They're hoisting up a three. And you guys, you Celtic fans, are going to sit there and tell me this is good basketball? To watch five guys stand around and watch Brown and freaking Tatum hoist one up? Al Horford? You're going to tell me this is good solid basketball? This is, how do you think Havlicek feels about this? How about Cousy and Worcester Mass watching this garbage? I mean, my God, they've been awful. Just atrocious.
Oh, baby. Mego and Shime here on WEEI. Classic Mad Dog rant on your Boston Celtics and their desire to just hawk up threes, as he says.
That's like therapy for me. To me, that's like gallows
that's
humor.
That's your internal monologue?
That's when somebody cracks just like the fiercest joke at a funeral. And you're like, oh, we needed that. How do you think Havlicek, can we hear that again? How do you think Havlicek feels about this?
How do you think Havlicek feels about that? What about Cousy and Worcester?
When he hit you with that, I was like,
so good.
Oh, I needed that. I truly think the Celtics are going to be okay. I think that at the same time, I am so anxious. I am anxious for this game. I am anxious for the next game. I think I, like everybody else, I would feel a million times better if they were able to go into MSG. They have a road record of 33-8 this season in the regular season. That's the regular season. If we're learning anything in these NBA playoffs,
So
regular season doesn't have a whole hell of a lot to do with the NBA playoffs these days because the playoffs are awesome right now. I even got Chris Curtis on the morning show to admit it, which I was so happy about, that the NBA playoffs are so dramatic and fun right now. But if they go in and they can tie it up to 2-2, I think we can all reset. We'll be okay, but we're a far way away from that with the Celtics. And it's not all about the three-pointers. Like, we'll get into all the different aspects of it. But, Shime, what do you think? Do you feel like this series is over? Or are you like me where you're sitting there going, if any team's going to come back down from 0-2 to the Knicks, it's going to be this very, very expensive roster?
I am not nearly as anxious, I think, as you have been. I look at this and I'm like, they're 25 of 100 from three through two games. They have lost these games by a combined 4 points. The Celtics are fine. They should have won those
two
games.
They're down 0-2.
I understand. That's fine. That's great. The sports books tend to agree with me, too, just because I know the Celtics are still favored. But, like, I look at it, and I see this team, and I'm like, this team is just, they're so much better than the Knicks. Like, talent-wise, they are head and shoulders better than the Knicks. And the Knicks, to their credit, have played scrappy, and they've been clutch in moments when they needed to be, and that's good for them. But the Celtics have also just made mental mistakes. Like, it's just, especially like at the end of that game too, you don't call a timeout there. I understand not calling a timeout right away on the inbounds pass. I get that. You wanted to run basically the same play you had run 20 seconds prior. Cool. But as soon as Tatum was stalled at the three-point line, Joe should have been firing off that timeout with zero hesitation. And so, like, I look at that and I see mistakes there. The play they drew up in overtime for Jaylen Brown looked like a flag football play in game one. That was a massive mistake. And so I just, like, it's just a mental error. This Celtics team is so much better than the Knicks. They can easily mount a comeback in game 3, 4, 5, 6 and completely reverse sweep this team. I fully believe that with every ounce of my being. They just have to go out and do it. They have to be the team they were the entire regular season.
So in the history of the NBA, in these playoff series, when you're down 0-2, 7% of teams have been able to go on and win those series in advance.
Yeah.
Or win a finals championship. 7%. Here's why I feel like the Celtics should be in that 7%. Because there's nothing that has dramatically changed about this team from the regular season except for the mystery plague around Kristaps Porzingis. And Kristaps Porzingis is a huge part of this team.
Sure.
And he would be a huge part if they're in the finals against whoever's going to be there, because I don't know if it's going to be OKC anymore, the way that that
down 2-1 to Denver,
ended,
by the way.
Ended it with Denver last night. Another awesome NBA playoffs game. But I don't think he should be the difference in this series.
I agree.
The gap between the talent of these two teams is enormous. And just like such a lesson about some of the arrogance of the way that we look at these different NBA teams. Like, even as I say that, I think, okay, I went into this series thinking it was going to be a gentleman's sweep. I thought it was going to be a 5-game series.
Same.
Because even though the Celtics are much more talented basketball-wise and a much deeper team than the Knicks, I watched what they did against Orlando, and I still think this team has a little bit of letting go of the rope. They still have a little bit of that mental lagginess. Okay, like they're the kind of team that's like, okay, sometimes we win by 30 points, and then the next night, we don't totally have it. And I know everybody wants to say, no, they got beyond that. They won the championship last year. They've moved beyond that. Look who they were in the regular season. I just think that's a trait that sometimes you have to recognize in yourself and maybe not accept, but expect.
Yeah.
Like, that is how this team goes about it sometimes. They're not perfect. Sorry.
No.
That's the truth of it.
But,
and so I expected a 5-game series, but it's just a lesson of, like, they can't fall asleep for an 8-minute stretch, even against a team that is this much less talented than them, and that's what happened in that game.
It's mental. You're absolutely right in that they can't fall asleep, but at the same time, I would just, not to be a total nerd, but to defend the nerds that they have in that building, like, it's a 2% variance. Right? They make two of those threes that they've missed out of the 100. They win both games.
I don't think I don't think you can look at it that way.
I don't allow it.
It's a loser way to look at it. It's the same way in football.
Numbers are numbers.
When they say, oh, it's the difference of two possessions. If you have those two possessions,
that's
then you
win different.
The game.
This is a 2% variance. A possession in NFL can go 100 different ways. Like, it can end in interception, fumble, touchdown, pick six. Like, there's so many different things. But whereas in that one shot, right, two shots in that game, if they had just been the other half of the coin, the other half of the 50%, you win both games.
But the way that I hate that is because it makes it dumb down to the idea that it's a make-miss league. And I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think that they really let go of some of their defense at the end of that game. And I think on the other side, the number of completely empty possessions and 7 turnovers in the third quarter, I felt like I was transported back in time to 2022, except I wasn't paying less for Botox. Like, it was so frustrating to watch 7 turnovers, 3 live ball turnovers from Jaylen Brown. I was like, Jaylen, babe, you've moved on from this. You've grown from this. You spent hours in the pool. I don't know if you brought the basketball in there with you, but you're not this guy anymore. And you got 7 points from the Knicks off those 7 turnovers. It's like, how do you revert to that? So I can't sit there and say, oh, it's just this variance, or it's just the three. Yes, the shooting is bad. The shooting is the number one thing. If you want to rank the priorities for this team, shootings is the biggest problem right now, but I can't dumb it down to it's just a make miss, and on back-to-back nights, the odds were not in your favor. Keep going about it the same way. Don't worry, the shots are going to fall because overall the numbers prove
but
it
out. But doesn't that seem like the perspective Joe Mazzulla and even Tatum a little bit yesterday have on this series? Is that like, just stay the course. We have our way of playing basketball. What you've seen in game one and game two of the Knicks series is how they want to play basketball. That is exactly how they want to go about every single game. That Magic series was a total outlier. What they want to do is what you saw in game one and two. Unfortunately, even with those all those open looks, quote-unquote, that they had, they couldn't hit, they couldn't convert, and so they were only 25 of 100 instead of 30 of 100. If they're 30 or 32 out of 100, they beat the Knicks by 10 in both games. Like, that's the mentality they have. And so I don't think that that changes in game three.
But I don't think that we can also blanket statement that that's the mentality that they have. I definitely don't think that's Jaylen Brown's mentality.
No, I'm not saying Jaylen. That's why I specifically referenced Mazzulla and Tatum.
For Tatum, like the, and I was at that availability after practice the other day where Tatum talked because there was a bizarre fire at TD Garden. I'm like, is this an omen? There was a supposed
fire alarm.
Elevator fire in the middle of our media availabilities after the game, and we had to all evacuate the building. Very strange. So we didn't get to talk to Tatum right after the game. Next morning, he's available. I think he was more answering for himself because he knows his shooting has been terrible.
Yeah,
and he knows that some of his shot selection, these fallaway, these fadeaway jumpers that he has at the end of game two, he's like, that's like, I'm not picking it right. Because here's the other thing is like the way that we talk about the NBA shooting is like, oh, it's all three-pointers or it's missed layups and they're smoking layups in the first quarter and how frustrating is that? And it shows a lack of focus. Or it's like this area in the mid-range game that so much of the NBA has abandoned because they feel like analytically it's not really that much of an advantage in the modern NBA. Well, it goes beyond that to the shot selection of like what's most frustrating for me with Jason Tatum right now is the guy we saw in those final three games against Orlando was the guy who was picking his spots. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was like in the hangover, Zach Galifianakis with like in the casino with the equation in front of his face.
All the math.
The way that he was seeing Paolo Banchero driving his elbow up and then punching back and just sitting back and laying up these jumpers. And you're like, he's picking his spots out there. He is picking apart surgically the defenses. Where is that guy?
Yeah, he's far less deliberate in this series than he was in that Magic series. I think that's absolutely fair. Like, I think if you're looking at the way Tatum has played, it seems far more just get ball, shoot against the Knicks than what it was in that Magic series, where it felt like he was so mentally just ahead of everybody
else.
I'm
not sure where I'm going. There's so much in that final
play,
possession.
100% agree.
I'm not sure where I'm going. What am I supposed to do?
Yep.
Plan A has failed. I'm not sure where I'm going. Even on like a 2-on-1 when it's him and Jaylen driving down and he kicks it out to Jaylen and there's the completely wide open shot that he misses. It's like, or Jaylen, I'm sorry, he fumbled the ball. He fumbled the ball off his fingertips. And you're like, guys, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you making this so hard? You should be able to look at what they're giving you on the floor. And that's where I wonder, okay, is there something to the coaching advantage? I don't think Tibbs is a fantastic coach.
No, he's
the
fine.
Guy
he's
was
good.
Going into this series coaching for his job. And now all of a sudden you have people from the national perspective going, they're getting out coached every night. Joe Mazzulla is outmatched by Tibbs, talking about him like he's, I don't know, like the Bill Belichick of basketball all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's not. I think Joe Mazzulla, the issues he has had are the timeout selection and the end of game plays, in my opinion. Those are the two massive downfalls for Joe. Otherwise, he's doing exactly what he's done the entire time he's been with the Celtics, which is, all right, let's try and get as many open look threes as we can and take every single one of them. Like, that's just the way Joe Mazzulla has been the entire, this is nothing new. It's just, it comes with the variance that you've seen game one and game two versus what you saw all through the regular season, where sometimes you're going to go 25 of 100 or sometimes you're going to shoot 40% and blow the team out by 40 points.
Here's where I can't really argue with Mazzulla, and I still don't love everything he does.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm really stupid. Like in game two, there was a challenge I'm like sitting in the press box and I'm like, ugh, why is he challenging this? This is so freaking pointless. Like, why is he doing this? And they win the challenge. And I'm like, I'm stupid. Okay. I recognize that sometimes I don't like something and there's an entire second row of coaches who are crunching the tape endlessly and making these decisions on things and angles that I can't see. Anyway, with Missoula, I can't argue when he says, look at game two. We won every box score margin. Like, we won every other margin. We won the turnover battle, even though we had way more turnovers than we like to during the regular season that we've shown ourselves over the last two seasons. We were all over the glass, as much as Jason Tatum only put up 2 points in the first half, and that's unacceptable for first-team All-NBA, star on your roster. He was all over the defensive glass. You're doing everything on the sides, on the margins that you can, but you're shooting God awful.
Yeah.
And at some point I'm like, well, there's a lot more that goes into that, and you can't just sit and break down analytics. But when you're telling me after game one and game two, I think were very different, even though they both had the same fourth quarter collapse. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were the same approach by both teams. And with game two, I do look at it and I go, yeah, I mean, they did win the margins and the shooting was god awful.
Yeah, I mean, as douchey as I thought it was, Missoula was asked a question after game one by Brian Robb about, like, the Knicks making, like, 50% of their threes in the second half, and just like, oh, what a novel concept, making a lot of your threes. And, like, as douchey as it sounded when he says it, like, it's not necessarily wrong. Like, the Celtics just make a couple more threes, and in his head, they just win the game. Like, that's just kind of his mentality. It's like, hey, we have open looks. We're getting the looks we want. We're, you know, texter is like, why are they shooting a ball right at the beginning of the shot clock every time? Well, if they get the open look they want, they're just going to pull the trigger and take the shot because that's who this team is. And Joe is telling you, like, well, all the shots are there. We're winning every other portion of this game. It's just guys aren't hitting their open shots. And if it's that simple, and I know you hate it, but game three, they should just roll through this Knicks team. If you hit your shots, if you hit 30% of your threes tonight, you should win going away, period.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see some of the stuff that we saw against Orlando.
Sure.
And that was a rock fight of a series. That was really ugly. But what impressed us so much about the Celtics, even though they dropped a game in that series, was they showed you variety of how they can win. And they showed you different ways to win. And now, again, I do feel like the three-point line just has to look just like a huge highlighted portion on the court to them because they go, oh, my God, I can't believe they're giving us this. And if they're not falling, like, it's also, like, I got to say, like, I have a lot more confidence in Derek White rattling off two shots that don't go in and saying, okay, Derek White, keep shooting.
Yeah.
Because especially towards the end of the game, you're actually one of the best clutch shooters in the entire NBA than Jaylen Brown trying to, you know, lift one from the arc. I think that it's different player by player, and they shouldn't all be treated the same.
617-779-7937. Mego and Shime here on WEEI. Talking Celtics. Game three this afternoon against the Knicks. 3:30 tip, or as Mego said, probably closer to 3:42. We will be joined by our guy, WEEI.com's own Justin Turpin, next here on Mego and Shime. But right now, Zach is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox back down to 500 after falling to the Royals 2-1 in extra innings last night in Kansas City. Hunter Dobbins got the start for the Sox. He went 6 shutout innings, allowing 5 hits while striking out 6. A Rafael Devers RBI groundout in the 11th accounted for the lone source of offense for the Sox. They'll look to bounce back tonight when Garrett Crochet takes the mound opposite Royals ace Cole Reagans. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil getting you started at 6:10 on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo with the call of the game. First pitch from Kauffman Stadium set for 7:10. Celtics looking to climb back into their second round series against the Knicks this afternoon. They'll head to Madison Square Garden for game three. Only one injury to report on the C side. They list Sam Hauser as doubtful. Tip-off in Game 3 from MSG set for 3:30. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Cavs cut the Pacers series lead in half with a 126-104 road win, and the Nuggets taking a 2-1 series lead over the top-seeded Thunder with a 113-104 win at home. Over in the NHL, former Bruins captain Brad Marchand potted the overtime winner for the Panthers. They beat the Maple Leafs 5-4. That cuts the Toronto series lead in half. They now lead 2-1. Jets also get a big win at home, 4-0, to even up their series with the Dallas Stars at one game apiece. Finally, Saints quarterback Derek Carr has announced his retirement after 11 NFL seasons. Carr was set to miss the entire 2025 season with a shoulder injury. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Mego and Shime coming up after this.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Talk Rafael Devers the entire first hour, and now it's a Celtics hour with Mego and Shime. And I'm a little bit more optimistic or excited, ready to go for Game 3. Mego's been anxious all morning long. I'm ready for the Celtics to get a win and come back and just win this series 4-2. Rob doesn't understand why I'm so optimistic, though. We'll go to Rob in Swampscape. Go ahead, Rob.
Shime, how you doing?
Good, bud. What's up?
All right. So before we talk, let's just make sure that we start the conversation with some basis of understanding respective to the Celtics. Is that cool?
Sure. What do you got?
All right. Do you agree with the general statement that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again, yet expect a different result?
For the most part, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So keeping that in mind, okay, my question to you is, what has shown you in the first two games that Joe Mazzulla is able to identify and then pull the trigger to pull up anchor, pivot, and change their approach to attacking this very pesky, absolutely athletically inferior team, but has a whole bunch of grit in the New York Knicks? Because I don't see how you're so optimistic that the Celtics need to change the way they're attacking this team.
Well, so,
if
Rob,
they're going to continue to shoot the three, they're going to choke.
I think that's the foundation of our disagreement is I don't think that they necessarily need to change, because if you look just specifically, if you're going specifically by the numbers, during the regular season, the Celtics shot 36.8% from three-point range. If they shot
36, you know the regular season and playoffs are totally different. You know that.
Yeah, of course I do. But even in the playoffs, the Celtics have shot, in the entire playoffs so far, they've shot 32.8% from three. If in game one and game two of that Knicks series, the Celtics shot 32.8% from three, do you want to know what happens? They win both games.
Right, and if are the middle two letters of life, and if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Yep, and if an if with fifth, we'd all be drunk. I get it, Rob, I do. But, like, at the same time, like, I just, that's why Joe Mazzulla is not going to deviate from his plan. And I think that was the general disagreement that him and I have is, like, he believes Joe Mazzulla needs to change. I don't think Joe Mazzulla thinks that. I think Joe Mazzulla is very comfortable continuing with what they've been doing.
This is what I think, and I don't feel this way. But when I talk to people who are very frustrated about the Celtics right now, and understandably because they're down 0-2, do you think that Mazzulla's approach and his responses publicly come off as too stubborn?
I think he comes off as, like, almost a little snobby, almost like I know better than you. Sometimes it feels, it
oh,
has
Sean,
felt like that the last
you,
two games.
Never, you've never come off
no,
that way.
Never. I would never do that. But, like, so it
you're
feels
saying condescending.
It feels like that, but I understand, like, there is a sliver
Here's
of truth to
truth.
Why he does it.
Here's the truth, and people don't want to admit this. He does know better than most of you. He
That's
knows
true.
Better than most of us, okay?
Yep.
He's in a job,
agree.
And he's been in it for 3 years now.
And he's pretty good at it. They won a championship last year.
Joe Mazzulla is different than he was in year one.
Absolutely.
And I think
agree.
That's important to highlight for people, because everybody, myself included at times, will go back to year one and think about him saying some kind of crazy stuff, like the most important stat in the game is getting up three-pointers, or just because you're closer to the basket doesn't mean it's an easier shot. Like, we all remember those in the back and forth that he had with Gary Washburn. He's a different guy now, and he's
sure.
a different coach. And don't get me wrong, he's made his mistakes and there are flaws there. But maybe he's a little condescending sometimes, because he does know what he's talking about at times.
Yeah, he absolutely does. And, like, I just, again, if they are as committed to the numbers as it seems that he is, like, this is the right approach for him. He believes that this is the correct approach, because it's not like in game one and two, they were hawking up those 75 missed threes with hands in their faces. Like, a lot of them were open looks. There were in game two, it was either the third or fourth quarter, Derek White, wide open three, clanked, Peyton Pritchard rebound, kicked it right to Derek White for another wide open three, clank, miss. Like, Joe Mazzulla is okay with that. They're wide open threes. He is never going to be mad about you taking a wide open three.
I think my only, like, real criticism here would be that you can't play a basketball game on your calculator. And
sure.
at some point,
and I think that's fair.
And at some point, you do have to factor in the human nature of the game. And so there is something to, if you're in a free throw shooting competition, there's something to seeing the ball go in the basket and being able to carry that over and over
Absolutely.
In some kind of mental rep. So if you're clanking and clanking and clanking, you can't have 19 of 20 attempts in the third quarter of game one be three-pointers. You just can't. You just can't. At some point, you have to take it in for an easy bucket. And Jaylen Brown said as much after the game. There is an aspect to this where, okay, the analytics tell us one thing, but occasionally, even if you think it's a make-miss league, if you're missing and missing and missing, you have to add some kind of variety in there and just see it. Like, as a human being,
yep.
I'm not trying to get all Tristan Cassis on you.
No, you're right.
But you have to see it in order to get yourself back into, we all know, the flow state. We all know being in the zone. There are these parts of the game that we can't really explain, but it's the human part. And you need to also have a grasp of that.
And I think that's fair, because you look at what the Knicks did in those second halves. Like, they were gaining confidence the more and more shots
yes.
you missed. And that I totally understand, and you have to have a feel for that in the game. You have to be able to adjust. I think I've argued with so many people about this in football, where it's like, you know, the numbers suggest this, but you also have to have a feel for the situation. You have to understand the game situation and the way it feels. Where is the momentum? As much as people want to tell you momentum doesn't exist, it does. It's a real thing. And you need to be able, as a head coach, feel where it is. And if things are not going well, you have to adjust. I get that. I totally understand that and respect that and think Missoula needs to work on that. But I also do believe that, you know, if Derek White hits one of those threes, it's like, oh, Celtics might just win the game.
Yeah, I don't know, though, because even if Derek White hits one of those threes, what happens on the possession on the other end? Because there also was a little, there were a couple of occasions in game two where things were going the Celtics way. They have a nice possession. And then on the other end, the urgency from the Knicks was just stronger. And it's like there was one occasion where I think it was Tatum just got caught completely flat-footed defensively. And you're like, what is this, guys? You know, like, we're not out in the park right now. You can't just be celebrating your possession and letting this go. You know what this team will do to you.
It's Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We are joined now, boots on the ground in New York, our guy from WEEI.com. He's also the Twitch extraordinaire for the midday program of Jones and Keefe. That will be our guy, Justin Turpin, joining us now on the hotline. What's up, Turp? Oh, hold on, I need to pot him up because that's my fault. There he is. What's up, Turp?
What's up, guys? What's going on?
How are you today, bud? How was the trip down to New York?
It wasn't bad, but, you know, it's the same old New York. It's a lot of people. The pigeons fly too close, and it doesn't smell nice. But other than that, it was good.
So Mego and I have been debating a little bit so far in the program on the approach that the Celtics will take in Game 3. Do you believe that Joe Mazzulla will stick to his plan and continue to launch all of those open-look threes, or do you feel like there will be some sort of adjustment in this game in New York?
I do. I think they're going to keep going with the approach they have. And because of the one word you mentioned there, open, I was looking at the tracking numbers, and these by no means should be taken as, like, gospel. Like, this is just like a reference point. But 96 out of their 100 shots have been deemed wide open or open. So that means the defender's 4 to 6 feet or more feet away. So they're getting good looks. And the whole philosophy of Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics offense is if there's an open shot, take it. It's won them a championship. It won them 60 games, two consecutive seasons. And it's not something they're going to get away from going now, just down 0-2. So they're going to keep doing it. If the shot's there, they're going to take it because that's what they believe in.
Terp, I got to ask, because we've both been trying to figure out what's up around the Kristaps Porzingis situation. Very curious. We were talking in the press box in game two about how labored he looked when he got into the game. Being down there in New York right now, have you gotten any more information about what they expect to get from him in game three, just in terms of minutes, and what is maybe contributing to how labored and fatigued he's looked in this series?
No, nothing yet, but there was the information that came out that it's a respiratory thing, which we kind of knew, so it's affecting his breathing and how much he can really go up and down the court. So I guess that's why it makes sense to bring him off the bench, but you and I have been talking about it all the time in these post-game videos that they really need him. Like, they went out and got him specifically for this reason. When the offense gone cold, like it has a couple times this postseason, he's the guy that's supposed to really get them back on track. That's why they went out and got him after the 2023 Eastern Conference Finals, because they couldn't break Miami's zone defense. They went out and got a guy that's kind of matchup-proof, that couldn't really be contained by any sort of defense. That's why they call him the unicorn. And they're really seeing how much they miss him, because when you're looking at this offense just going cold and cold, he's supposed to be the guy that's supposed to break it, and he just hasn't been able to. So hopefully, Joe Mazzulla said the other day that hopefully the 2 days of rest here will get him back on track and give him some sort of more wins going into this. But yeah, they're definitely missing him. But nothing else new on that front yet.
Terp, being on the road, the home crowd can be sometimes annoying and sometimes impact the game. So do you think the Celtics have an increased focus on starting well and getting a lot of points early and kind of building that early lead to try and shut up that Madison Square Garden crowd?
Oh, for sure. I think they love these moments. And the way they played during the regular season on the road would imply that's the case. Even when they were going through that up and down stretch in December and January, they were still taking care of business on the road. It's just there seems to be just sometimes a lack of focus and a lack of discipline once they go up at home, and it's been the case like that all year. So there were kind of warning signs to this. But now, like, looking at it on the road, they just take care of business. They just do what they're supposed to do. So I think getting on the road, being in a hostile environment, really testing their championship mettle here, is that's important.
Terp, New York is a basketball town that pathetically has had very little to celebrate over the last couple of decades. How obnoxious is everyone there right now?
You know what? It really wasn't that bad out there when I was out there now, but there was actually some cool, like, taxis driving around that just had, like, Knicks stuff all over them, which is pretty cool. But, yeah, they're definitely excited. There's people out here already, but there wasn't a ton going on. So you could tell they've been really desperate for a moment like this, and I'm expecting it to be a great crowd. Like, this is something they probably haven't experienced on the road in a long time, the Celtics just being in this environment. Even last year during the finals in Dallas, like, it felt like they knew they didn't really have that much of a chance in that series. Like, not that they didn't think they couldn't win, but, you know, there was a lot of Celtics fans on that road trip and in the NBA Finals last year. So I don't know. It's going to be something they haven't really seen this year.
Terp, we heard from Tatum the day after the game due to the whole fire alarm issue. And it seems to me like he understands his poor performance in game one and game two. I believe he comes out and has a really good, maybe even Kobe-like performance at Madison Square Garden tonight. How do you feel about Jason Tatum heading into game three?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this is the game he finally gets going. I mean, we haven't seen him have a stretch like this many times in his career that he's held down this poorly shooting. And quite frankly, he's too good of a player to be held down like this. Eventually, he's going to break loose and have one of these big games. And maybe it's just being on the road in that hostile environment again that really gets him going. But you could tell there's a sense of urgency. And he took accountability for the way he's played the other day at practice when he spoke. And I really do think it's sincere. And he's going to make it a point of emphasis to be aggressive tonight and really just get back to what he did during the regular season against this team. He averaged 33 points against them. Like, we know he can have success against this team. It's just a matter of getting it done and making the open shots. He's probably the biggest culprit of missing these wide open shots. I mean, obviously the one that everyone keeps talking about, that fourth quarter corner three look the other day. Like, you got to make that. You're Jason Tatum. You're an All-NBA player. You're an MVP candidate. You have to go out and make that shot.
Terp, when you look at the NBA playoffs overall, what do you think it says about these teams that are so heavily favored going into these early rounds? The Cavs, the Celtics, now OKC being down 2-1 against Denver, that these other teams are just like surging in the most dramatic fashion against them.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen it like this in a long time, it feels like. It's really made for a fun postseason, but I'm also look at the stars, to be honest, and I think last night's game between the Thunder and the Nuggets are really kind of a good reference point. Like, look at how Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Nikola Jokic shot in that game, and it's kind of similar to how Jason Tatum's looked this postseason. It's like these really high-caliber offensive players, MVP candidates, some of the best players in the league, struggled to stay efficient during the postseason. Like, it's really kind of a bizarre trend that we're seeing this year. Obviously, they've had some games, like Donovan Mitchell had a huge game in game two that they lost, but it's really the star players. Like, the efficiency drop-off from those guys is really stunning to me, just like across the league. Like, if you look at the game last night with Jokic, you would think the way he shot, there's no way Denver wins that game, but it's the role players stepping up. And you would think that gives the Celtics a leg up, right? Because they have all this depth. They have all these guys that can step up and make plays. But collectively, the team is just not taking shots for the Celtics. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting that, but I'm looking more at like just how efficient the stars have been, because that's been the biggest jump out to me.
All right, Terp. So Celtics-Knicks tip off at 3:30 this afternoon in New York. I know you're going to be hearing from Joe Mazzulla and Tibbs coming up here, but I got to get your prediction for the game. Do the Celtics win Game 3 and keep their playoff hopes alive today?
Yeah, they're going to win Game 3. This team's just far too talented to drop three in a row to this team that they completely dominated in the regular season. I know it's a lot different, but they are just way too talented. I mean, the way we just think about how we've talked about this team over the last 2 years, it's just the talent combined there and how good they've been. They're just too talented to drop three in a row. So I'm going to go with the Celtics.
Turp setting off an alarm again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. That's the panic alarm all around Boston right now. That's all that is. But we'll be all right. The Celtics will win this game.
He's Justin Turpin. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin M. Turpin. He covers the Celtics for WEEI.com. He also joins Jones and Keefe every Wednesday for Pure Hoops with Terp. Thanks so much for joining us today, Terp, and enjoy the game, my friend.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
That is Justin Turpin joining Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Mego, did he change your perspective on the game at all? Are you more confident, less anxious at all? How are you feeling now post-Terp?
I feel the same.
Oh, boy.
Terp's my right-hand man. I talked to him throughout the entire Celtics games at the home games, so he knows all my anxieties and opinions, as right and wrong as they often are. So, yeah, I feel the same. I just, you know, I'm glad it's not like Knicks fans in the streets at noon drinking and celebrating already. So at least there's not that.
Did you see those mock-up for the t-shirts too that was going around the internet? Yeah, they I saw it on like Instagram and Twitter, and like Knicks fans were like, yeah, we should make You Ain't Kobe t-shirts and put them on every...
That's not nice.
That's not nice.
That's not nice. That's not a nice
thing. Also, like, Jason Tatum has more titles in the last 20 years than you do, so...
Oh, yeah. That's true, but... I mean, we don't need to bring Kobe into this, RIP.
No, you don't at all. 617-779-7937. Mego and Scheim here talking Celtics. We were just joined by Justin Turpin. Make sure to follow him on Twitter and on WEEI.com. He's been covering the Celtics now all season long alongside Mego. We'll continue with a little bit of Celtics, but we also want to get into this whole Jordan situation, the reporting by Pablo Torre. We'll get your calls on the Celtics and more here on Mego and Scheim on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Mego and Scheim on WEEI.
Mego and Scheim here on WEEI. Been talking a lot of Devers and Celtics. Let's go right to the phones here. Talk some more Celtics. Mike in Boston wants to talk about Jason Tatum. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Good afternoon.
Afternoon, bud.
I don't understand the concept that Tatum is trying to do here, where he's so dead set on either being a three-point shooter or shooting this mid-range fadeaway shot that barely goes in. When he drives to the lane, 75% of the time, he's getting the shot off or he's getting fouled. I can't understand. I'm not a coach, and I can see the concept that him driving to the lane is what's going to be more productive in a win.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. Yeah, I look at it as is that's one of the one things I didn't like about, like, I understand the numbers approach of shooting the threes, but when it comes to Jason Tatum, a guy who's struggling and can contribute in so many other ways, I think Mike has a point where, like, Tatum getting to the hoop is a all around net positive because he's A, going to make a layup, B, going to get fouled, C, going to kick it out to a guy who is wide open for three and is shooting better than he is, or, you know, the one rare opportunity where none of those positive things happen. Like, right? Like, it's more of a 75% chance of success than him just, like, pulling up from three or that stupid fadeaway jumper just outside the key that drives me insane that he misses constantly.
I think it even goes beyond that. It's not just as simple as, hey, why isn't Jason Tatum driving into the paint for layups? It's this pick and roll game that they had so much success with during the regular season. And part of them moving away from it might be that Kristaps Porzingis is clearly not himself.
Yeah.
And frankly, not available for a lot of this series. But at the same time, I only saw them try to run it with Luke Kornet once in game two, and that's been their bread and butter at times for, okay, what works for us when the shots aren't falling, when the threes just aren't raining the way that we expect them to from this roster. We go to this pick and roll game and it opens things up, and for some reason, I don't know if it's just Porzingis dependent, but they really haven't been executing that in the same way.
Let's go to Angry Principal Dave, caller of the Greg Hill Morning Show, now joining us on Mego and Scheim here. What's up, Dave?
Good afternoon, Scheim. Good afternoon, Mego. First time talking with you. But I would just like to weigh in on a couple different things. Number one, as a 54-year-old Boston fan my whole life who lived through terrible, terrible times, we are so spoiled. We're so absolutely spoiled. We expect every series our teams get into that there's going to be no adversity, that we're going to sweep everybody, that there's no, you know, these are professional athletes on the other side of every game that we play. So that drives me nuts. And no one, the spoiled people, no one was complaining last year when we won a title by shooting threes. No one. But now all of a sudden it's a big issue, right?
That's secondly, that's how it seems.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead, bud.
Oh, so I tried to get on Thursday, but you cut my Hill note, and I had a couple of points I wanted to make. So that game two, I totally agree with the no timeout. I think they got a great shot. Curtis will say, after Mazzulla said it, he had a good look. Tatum absolutely had a good look. He drove the lane.
It's breaking up.
Oh, Dave.
Yes, I was there. But he got to the short corner and had it. And he didn't want to take it. He kicked it out because that's what they're trained to do. He should have taken that shot. He had the Mamba mentality of taking the shot. Do you agree, Mego, that he had a good look?
He got stuffed, and I thought that he looked kind of directionless.
Yeah.
And I got to say, like, for me personally, my opinion, I did not have as big an issue with not calling the timeout. I didn't love the explanation after the fact.
Yeah.
Of we essentially were just going to let our best player try to run it down their throats again.
But it also just felt like there was, you didn't have to call the timeout right away. I felt like on the inbounds pass, you wanted to run a very similar play. I get that. That makes sense to me. But as soon as you see that not coming to fruition, as soon as you see any form of adversity there on that play, it's easy to just call timeout and reassess the situation. Like, that to me is kind of what bugged me a lot, is that you didn't have the wherewithal to recognize, oh, Tatum isn't getting the same lane he got on that last opportunity. Oh, they're forcing him left. Oh, there's guys all over the place. Let me call a timeout so we can actually get a legit shot off.
I want to address one other thing that Principal Dave said, which was the spoiled nature of fans here. I don't really think this applies to the Celtics in the same way. And I understand it's 18 banners and it's such a winning franchise. But for someone of our generation, Scheim, like there were 22 years between 1986 and 2008.
Yep.
We waited quite a while to see a Celtics championship in 2008. And then it was 16 years between 2008 and the last championship. So I don't think it's you can lump everybody in with Red Sox fans who finally, you know, broke through the ceiling and then got to have a bunch of championships all at once, or Patriots fans who dominated two decades. Like, I get it. It's quite a layoff between these championships. And I don't say that to disparage the Celtics, because it's extremely hard to win an NBA championship. And they do a massively great job. You just have to watch Celtic City to understand like how relevant they keep this team generation after generation. But to sit there and say that Celtics fans are spoiled, for our generation, we are not.
No.
We want more. We want more.
We absolutely
want a back-to-back.
We're hungry. Like, that's all. We're not spoiled. We're hungry for more. That's all. We want to eat just like everybody else. And I think I also kind of resonated with his the Celtics faced no adversity last year, and now all of a sudden they're facing adversity, and it feels like a lot of people are panicking. And so, like, that's why I am very confident about a Game 3 win for the Celtics tonight. Like, I just, yeah, it's they're finally facing some adversity. People criticized them last year because it was too easy of a road to a title. Now they face some adversity, and if they come back and beat the Knicks, it's like, all right, like, what can't this team do? They can overcome a 2-0 deficit. They can do that, and I believe that they can.
We haven't gotten to get into the Jason Tatum of it. We'll do that a little bit later in the show because we're on today forever.
It's a marathon
forever
show today for Mego and Scheim.
We need Game 6, 2022. Knock out the Bucks. Keep yourself alive, Jason Tatum. That's who we need. We'll get to that later in the show, but I know we got to hit a break.
617-779-7937. It's Mego and Scheim here on WEEI. We've talked Rafi Devers. We've talked Boston Celtics. But the other big story that came out yesterday, Pablo Torre reporting on Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick. We will get to that next here on WEEI.
Not talking about this.